Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everybody, or should I say, happy Red Sox World Series Day. The Boston Red Sox clinched their third World Series championship in 10 years last night, their first one at Fenway Park since 1918, when Babe Ruth was leading the Sox. Of course, David Ortiz had a very Babe Ruth-like series, batting around over 600. We'll get to him in a little bit. I'm your host, Joe Perrello of SuiteSports.com, S-U-I-T-E, sports.com, and welcome into Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. I'm joined by the man himself, Bob. You were at Fenway last night. I know you just told me you didn't get home until 2:30 in the morning. The crowds were crazy. Just what an unbelievable win for this city, first and foremost. But this team was really something special.
In many ways, Joe. In many ways, I think that anybody that kind of spent the season paying attention and they generated more and more attention as they went along will soon realize, if they haven't already, that they'll be hard-pressed to find another year like this, another team like this, and another run like this. This pretty unique, pretty unique.
Yeah, most definitely. The obviously, the worst to first is a big part of it. The Boston strong is a huge part of it, and you got David Ortiz, the one holdover from that 2004 championship. Just looking at the numbers, he batted 688, 11 out of 16, with two home runs, six RBI, and he drew eight walks. So he had a 760 on-base percentage. Just unbelievable stuff. We talked about him during the ALCS, about how you thought this postseason run punched his ticket to the Hall of Fame. Just what do you think about David Ortiz among the all-time Red Sox greats now? I mean, this series has got to shoot him up there with some of the best of all time.
Well, he hasn't done anything in the series that takes any luster out what he did for the other part do the same thing. So it was, I don't know what, you can't really describe his performance. It was epic. And, you know, you're not going to see that again. I don't care. I don't think you're going to be able to top that, but thing that I would go back to is Stephen Drew last night.
Yes.
You know, having a horrible, miserable, please put me on the bench type World Series. Offensively, defensively, he was stellar. Mm. And then he comes out of it at just the right time, to have memories for himself and also for everyone else. It's ironic that his brother, J.D., had his best memory as a Red Sox against the Cleveland Indians when he hit a Grand Slam home run in the ALCS to get them to the World Series in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
so,
it's...
There are some ironies here. Victorino, like, that's unbelievable. You know, he struggled during the whole series, like, oh for October, and then in three at bats he has eight RBI. I mean, in a home run he has triple or maybe a double and an error, or and then a single. It's just crazy. He almost hits it a cycle in in that span. You know, it was crazy good.
Yeah,
and it was amazing last night, Joe. And then I'll shut up.
Yeah.
The crowd was as one. Crowd was so together, it was like itself was, this is really going to sound trite, but I'm not above that or below that or whatever. It was like the crowd itself was like a living organism. The crowd was as if it was so connected and so united. I mean, Walker never had a chance. Never had a chance.
No, he really didn't from the first pitch on. You mentioned Drew going yard. It's seemingly, you know, what a great time to break out in a clinching game of the World Series. But it seems like the Red Sox kind of got that from everybody. Even if people were slumping, they seemed to come out at the right moment. Big Poppy got hot for pretty much the entire postseason. I'm looking at some numbers here with the Red Sox. They actually have the lowest batting average of a World Series winner in the last 40 years. Like the team only bat 211 in the series, but when you have Big Poppy mashing and getting on base and this kind of timely hitting, did it seem like they were batting 211? I felt like they were hitting way better than that. It seemed like they were always coming up with big hits.
Yes, they were always coming up with something. I don't know, but this team was, it's like both the team was like a one organism, and this whole Fenway Park was one organism. And there were a couple of Cardinal fans sitting down in front of me, was silent and sad. I tell you, it was they had all their St. Louis garb on, and they left early. They left in the eighth inning and said that, you know, they've seen enough. And
okay.
I had no conversation with them, but they weren't being harassed by anybody. Nobody had time to pay attention to them. It was, you know, in the ballpark, when I was walking out of the ballpark after the ceremonies, the crowd was over toward Glen Avenue into Kenmore Square. That's where the action was. And thank goodness I wasn't part of that, and neither was my son or grandson. So I was on the other side. It took me almost an hour and a half to get out of the parking lot. And I have a good place to park. So it was not a big sacrifice, believe me. After a ceremony, I went and sat in the car for about an hour and listened to the radio and all the ceremonies, et cetera. But,
not too bad of a night to be on traffic.
No, you know what was also interesting, that the crowd stuck around. The crowd, of course, they knew this was an historic moment.
Yeah.
They knew the history. They knew that no one alive has seen this or remembers this, but very few.
Yeah.
They know that they were at someplace unique, and they just stayed. Flashlights on the camera, on everybody's iPhone or whatever camera, smartphone camera.
Yeah.
It was like candles at a rock concert.
Yeah.
They turned on those flashlights, and it was really very cool. At Fenway Park, it was very cool. I mean,
it looked like stuff
I had never seen before.
Yeah, it really looked like a sight to behold. And like you said, 95 years since the last time the Sox clinched the series in Boston. So definitely a historic moment. Definitely something that, I'm sure somebody alive saw it, maybe remembers it, maybe was, 4 years old, a very, very old person. But that
certainly wasn't on television, and, had to kind of be there, right? Weren't any, riots in the streets. That's a bit disappointing, but I don't get that. I guess, alcohol, and I don't know, that was stupid, but
alcohol and emotion, and a lot of emotion.
A lot of emotion, not all of it did it in the right way, just, I don't know, the black just trying to get attention or what, I don't know, I can't figure that out. I just cannot figure that out. I'll pass on that in a moment and just simply say that the crowd was well aware of the historical significance and did not go away. That crowd came there for more than a baseball game. They came there for a celebration and a trophy presentation so they themselves could take pictures and say, I was there. And hardly anybody left until that trophy stuff was over.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It was
something else.
It was pretty cool. And now I got a parade Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing about this game was it basically was a celebration. From the fourth or fifth inning on, you kind of felt that this was the game. And you knew with Koji coming out, and you just felt there was no way they were going to blow it. There was, I believe, in the seventh, a little bit of a scare when they finally pulled Lackey, but he had pitched pretty darn well. So
there's another story. And you know what? The crowd went deathly silent. It was so eerie. It went from the Roman Colosseum to the Lions and Christians versus, then it went to a funeral home. It was deathly silent after the Lackey had bases loaded and people that remember the past were thinking, here we go again. You know, we thought we escaped this kind of torture, but here we go again. And that was the one tense moment. But they got out of it with a double play. You know, so tense moment, tense enough to shut the crowd right down. And again, as one, they were like the same person. I need to have a blog about this. I might get an early blog this week.
We'll certainly take it, Bob. But yeah, that that came through the TV too, just like the nervous energy from the crowd when it was going on. But other than that, I mean, it was a crowning game. It was a celebration game because for the rest of the game, the Red Sox were just humming, and it just seemed like nothing could stop them.
You know, and I did not have the benefit of seeing any replays.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things. You go to the places where you sit, which are really great seats, but they don't have televisions. So you see no replays and you hear no commentary. So part, you do miss out a lot. Believe it. If you go to the game, you actually miss out on a lot of things, except the excitement of being part of this. So I don't know what McCarver and Buck were saying about the crowd reaction. I don't know what...
Yeah.
The replays showed. So it was, you know, that's part of the stuff that I missed. But you know what? Big deal. I saw it.
I was going to say to be there is a little better.
I think Matheny did a horrible job managing in the series. I think the Cardinals were, they had an attitude. I don't know what it was. It was like the attitude was, well, the reason you can tell the Cardinals had an attitude was because it wasn't anything like the Red Sox. Their personality was totally individual. It was like, you know, we're great ball players and we can just be really cool and do our jobs, as opposed to, you know, digging in and get yourself dirty like the Red Sox did. It just, the contrast was striking to me by the end of the series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, normally Cardinal teams are kind of known for that attitude as well. So
I think
little,
so, but not
little
this
bit surprising.
Team. You know, these guys were I wouldn't say prima donnas, but they just were not following. These guys were not in sync. Now, I don't know what you think was the biggest play of the series, but I'm afraid that that kid that got picked off first base is going to be. labeled like that might have been the biggest. That's where the Cardinals lost it.
Yeah,
but you don't know what would have happened if he didn't get picked off. So still,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a silly play because that run meant nothing. You know, the tying run was at the plate. So as long as you don't get out, so I don't know. But
look at this: the Red Sox could have swept easily because the game was ended. Well, the one was the obstruction thing. Whatever. It was just the Red Sox were the dominant team. There's no question. They were the best team in baseball at the end of the season. And will this go down as one of the great World Series ever played? I don't think so. But it will here. It must. But I don't think it was one of the great World Series ever played.
I certainly agree with you on that.
I
think it was a great World Series, but for
That's true, and it did kind of revitalize baseball. So maybe it was one of the top 10. But you know what made this World Series so special were the large number of mistakes. I said that on the blog.
Yeah,
I thought the mistakes were really part of that made it so interesting.
Yeah, added to the drama.
Here's the Pedroia thing. He commits an error, right? Well, God, when's the last time we saw him drop a ground ball? And then he makes four or five unbelievable plays the way it went.
Yeah. It's the way this whole year went. Like you said, they're the best team in baseball. They finished as the best team in baseball. When they got off to that quick start, we were almost thinking, when is this going to fall apart? And it just never came off the rails, and they rode it all the way to a World Series championship from last year and all that messiness and kind of, you know, they weren't exactly endearing to the city the last 2 years, but now this total role reversal. Where would you put this team? Those three World Series champions, 2004, you had the Idiots, who also had the beards, I guess, something similar.
You had the Idiots 2007. You had a really dominant, efficient team. And this year, how would you kind of categorize this team, and which team would you liken them to in those past Red Sox championship squads?
Well, in 2004, that's the first championship. We had no team to compare to, except 67. And that was a whole different ballgame back then. So, okay, those guys were known for coming back and winning four straight games after being down 3-0 to the Yankees. I mean, that was their series was anticlimactic. The fact that they did that to the Yankees was what they were all about. 2007 against Colorado, it was no contest. It was, again, the Cleveland series. When they were down 3-1, they came back. That kind of was part of that legacy. But the 2007 team did not compare, I don't think, I would say, huggability to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
This team totally, I think, blew the other two away. Blew the other two away because of Uehara over Papelbon, and there were just so many other things that worked out. This team was such a blend of young guys and wayward travelers, I would have to say. You know, one young guys and Duck Dynasty people. right. I mean, I would expect that if it got a game 7 tonight, that Duck Dynasty and ZZ Top were going to be there. That would have been very cool. But it didn't happen, you know. Let's say that for opening day next year when they give out the ring.
You may have to tell the people at the Red Sox about it. That's a great idea, Bob.
They can figure it out. I'm sure they will. They pulled back in the Dropkick Murphys who led them in their final game against the Tigers, stirred them up.
Yeah.
That was a great pregame show, and they brought them back. You know, why not?
Yeah.
For this game.
It all worked. It all seemed to work out. So what I'm gathering from what you're saying, you think that this, of the modern, and we can call it a bit of a dynasty, you know, the championships are a little more spread out. It's over 10 years rather than, you know, over four or five years.
There's the only team that's won three in the turn of the century, so come on, we've got to say that. They've been the dominant team.
It's been them and the Cardinals.
This is the best.
Them and the Cardinals, and they beat them.
I would definitely claim this team as, this team was not going to lose. It was not in their DNA. They fulfilled their destiny. That was it. This was whatever they sold their soul to, they worked. They were not going to lose. It was not in their nature to lose this something this big. And, hey, 2-1, winning 2 in St. Louis, coming back here. After they grabbed those 2 in St. Louis, they couldn't, it's just a matter of.
They couldn't be stopped. Yeah.
There you go.
They could not be. So once they won those 2, and so you knew it was over. You knew they were going to close this thing out. But, like you said, it seemed like a team of destiny. You rarely get that. But, entering the playoffs,
well,
it was hard to see them doing anything.
That's praise. But you know what? This team fulfilled its destiny. I don't know. It created its own destiny and fulfilled it. There were so many huge plays during the season. So many huge at-bats. So many two-out at-bats that worked.
Yeah.
Now, could they ever duplicate this? Boy, I don't know, man. I think that's a lot. That's why I think this was. Words don't really. Hyperbole is the window here. You really can't describe what this was, except be part of it. You and I are very lucky to have been part of it. That's why, even if it was a small part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's one of those, enjoy it while you're watching it, because you're not going to see something like this. You'd be very fortunate to see something like this again. Unbelievable.
I was glad I was able to bring my son and grandson there last night,
Phenomenal.
We really had a great time. It was a great time. And I'm telling my grandson, because I'm on crutches and I'm pretty far away from where I parked, and it was about the sixth inning, and I'm saying, they got a pretty good lead here. I think I might leave. And my grandson turned to me and said, you can't leave. You got to stay here and see history. This is my 14-year-old grandson telling me this.
Yeah.
You got to stay here and see history being made. And I said, you know what, kid, you're right.
Right.
So.
He was right.
You know, I that was good. That was very good.
That's a, you know, it's another one of those things, baseball, I mean, for those kind of moments and those kinds of things, yeah. It may be a football-driven country now, but, man, not just with the Red Sox. The Major League Baseball delivered some great moments this year. You look at Pittsburgh with that stadium going crazy for their play-in game, and all that stuff. I mean, Major League Baseball, whoa, a year to revitalize the league. This year was it, I think. So we'll see if it keeps that momentum going, but. It's an unbelievable year in Major League Baseball, obviously, in Boston especially. One last note I want to get in before we go, and then I'll let you close this out, Bob. Looking at some numbers here, and where is it? Big Papi Ortiz, oldest World Series MVP ever at 37 years and 346 days old, so nearly 38 years old. Unbelievable the run that he was on. Big Papi, oldest World Series MVP ever. And
I tell you what, I'd like to have some of this. Wherever he's on, I'd like to have some. I'll tell you.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right, Bob, that's all the time we've got, unless you've got anything to add.
No, Joe, I really appreciate the opportunity that you've given me to both write about it and talk about it. So I'm grateful. Right. Thank you.
We're grateful to have you, Bob. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you next week.
You got it, bud. Thanks.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone at home for listening in to Catching Up with Bob Labelle. We'll see you next week, same place, same time. Have a great weekend, everybody.